Yeah, 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 come and take a look at the snow. Bright white as far as your eyesight goes. Come and take a look at the fields of snow. I'll just get my coat, then we're good to go. Come and take a look at the lake. Let's have a quick skate before it gets late. Come and take a look at the frozen lake. Put your clothes on, mate, don't make that mistake.
Greetings, holiday shoppers. There are now 165 shopping days left until Christmas, and you know what that means. That means it's time for another episode of Christmas Creeps, your one-stop shop for holiday movies and TV shows all year round. My name is Joseph Wade. I'll be your host for this evening. Here with me tonight is a very special guest. My co-hosts, once again, have disappeared on me, but that's okay, because we have a special ringer to talk about a very special program. Here tonight to talk about the Will Vinton Claymation Christmas Celebration. From the Totally Rad Christmas podcast, it's Jerry Davila. Jerry, welcome to the show.
Hey, how's it going? Long time no talk to.
I know, it's been crazy. It's only been a day or two.
I know.
I've been on your show a handful of times, and I'm happy to finally return the favor and get you on ours.
Yeah, this has been really cool because I love your guys' Claymation episode. Your Cobra episode as well, because I listened to that in preparation and. You have some fun ones. Elves is awesome, so I'm ready. I'm ready to dive in and become a Christmas creep here.
Oh, excellent. That's what I like to hear. Well, right off the bat, you know, if you've got a cold one, might as well crack it open now. I sure do.
I just have a Sonic drink here.
Hey, that's honestly, I'm drinking a lime green bubbly tonight, so nothing
fancy. Oh, nice,
yeah. All right. Well, let's dive straight into Claymation Christmas special. This aired in 1987, mm-hmm. December 21st, the same night as the Garfield Christmas special.
Yeah, and this one actually, like, won the Emmy and Garfield didn't.
Which... It did, yeah. Which
is kind of mind-boggling.
It's strange. Like, it's if you had to ask me to choose which I prefer, that's tough because they're both so good. I kind of leaned more towards this one because I have more nostalgia for it, I guess.
Same, me too. Yeah. And the Garfield one's amazing. It's like super filled with Christmas spirit. It's just very just warm and cozy and traditional. But this one, I remember loving more because while Garfield was cool, I was never super into Garfield because I was more into like Transformers and He-Man and G.I. Joe, like all the action-oriented ones. So this one felt, even though it has nothing to do with action, it just felt a little more like action-y. For some reason, I don't know why, maybe just because I love the California Raisins or maybe just because I was super into dinosaurs at the time, but like I'm leaning more towards this one as well.
Yeah, all of those valid reasons. And I think it has a little bit more of it's weird to say it has an edgier sense of humor because it's such a tame, like family-friendly special, but it really does compared to Garfield.
When you're up against Garfield, it's not really that difficult to have an edgier sense of humor.
Exactly. And especially, you know, the other special that was up for the Emmy for Outstanding Animated Special that year was Disney's Brave Little Toaster. So among the three of them, you know, this one wins out.
Yeah. But just technically speaking, I mean, this one is a marvel as well, I think, compared to the other two. And we'll get into it, I'm sure. But it seems like the work that went into this was... just at a different level, technically.
Right. There's definitely a love for the craft of stop motion animation. And I think that's why I hold this one so close to my heart today, because that's such an endangered life form. And when you're talking about animation, especially where that studio wound up today. And I guess we could talk a little bit about sort of the history of the Will Vinton studio.
Sure.
His heyday in the 80s, he was producing animation for, you know, Disney projects like Return to Oz and Michael Jackson's Captain EO. And
it's good stuff.
I love Captain
Return to Oz. Still gives me the creeps just thinking about it. And I've seen it since, and it's nowhere near as scary. But what are the Wheelers? Is that what they're called?
The Wheelers, yeah.
Yeah, those guys. Oof. Yeah, that's a big no thank you for me.
Fair enough. But also, I think Vinton's most famous creations, of course, are the California Raisins.
Right.
And Domino's Pizza's Noid character.
The Noid. Oh, yeah.
You got to avoid the Noid.
Avoid the Noid at all costs.
I was in Myrtle Beach for the 4th of July, and I went to their pinball museum, and I'd never seen this before. They had a Domino's Pizza Noid pinball machine.
Oh, nice.
Never seen, never heard of it before. I don't know where it came from, but it was just like, it was just an amazing little artifact.
But, I love it.
Yeah, that's kind of where Vinton Studios' bread and butter was like marketing product, you know, marketing mm-hmm. characters and animated stuff for TV. But he also produced a lot of animated TV specials, and he had one feature film, The Adventures of Mark Twain.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Before Claymation Christmas, but then the opportunity for a TV special, I guess this was supposed to go direct to video.
Yeah, right? It was supposed to be like an educational kind of thing that was just straight to video, nothing really spectacular about it. It was just geared towards kids, and somehow he wheeled and dealed his way into making it bigger and better, and suddenly it's on ABC or CBS? CBS. I think.
CBS, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And so I don't know how he turned it into it, and I know I did get to speak with the composer of this, Patrick J. Miller, and he was surprised, and all of a sudden, you know, that it was bigger and more involved than he had planned. And so I think Will Vinton just had big dreams and big ambitions and aspirations, and he tried to, you know, capture all those, and whether he succeeded or not is completely up to history, I suppose. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it was going to be just like a really kind of low budget little thing here and there.
Right. And before the show, you forwarded to me a website where the composer gave his side of the story.
Right.
And what I think I had always secretly known was that the Joy to the World segment was the thing that kind of turned all this mm-hmm. stuff around, because
yeah.
it's such a unique piece of animation. It's such a unique spin on that tune. And when Will Vinton first heard that, he realized, like, we've got something here. We need to really capitalize on
it. But yeah, so that whole segment, I remember as a kid, that was not my favorite one. You know, as a kid, you love, like, the walruses and the bells, especially, and the raisins. But like now as an adult, I really appreciate just the artistry and everything about it. 'Cause that was all hand painted, like cell by cell on clay
mm-hmm.
that was then, you know, molded and then painted again. I mean, it was like, that's crazy to me.
To be the idea being that it's you're animating stained glass windows in a church, you know, window scene. How else would you do that? And they came up with just an amazing visual look for that. And mm-hmm. as a kid, I remember it being really creepy to me. It was
yes.
such a strange look. But now it strikes me as being an extremely kind of 80s vibe, especially the genre of music that it is.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, it's like a weird Afro-Cuban kind of soul with a little bit of gospel in there. It's a big mishmash of stuff, but I kind of dig it.
Yeah.
And I actually think it's one of my favorites now mm-hmm. as an adult. Yeah.
I wish I could get my hands on a copy of the vinyl record of this, but mm-hmm. you know, it's available on CD and vinyl. If you want to shell out $149 for it on vinyl, you can. I don't recommend it, but man, would I love to have it.
Same. So I don't have the vinyl. I did download from the website. You can download the actual songs.
Oh, okay, cool.
But yeah, so I did that, and I talked to the composer, and he was like, "Yeah, that's what it's there for. Like, feel free to do it." So I was like, "Perfect."
Good. I'm all for it.
But yeah, that would owning like the actual physical copy of the record would be awesome.
Yeah, really, it really would. So I guess. The last thing I want to mention as far as Will Vinton goes, I guess the sad sort of postscript to his studio story.
Yeah.
It breaks my heart for a couple of reasons, because, you know, in the late 90s and 2000s, they hit hard times, and mm-hmm. kind of he sold off the controlling stake of the company to, of all people, Nike, Phil Knight and his son Travis, who at the time was working at the studio, and mm-hmm. it became Leica Studios. And when I say that it breaks my heart, it's because I love that company's movies so much. And when I realized that, like, they basically wrestled the company away from Will Vinton, that's really kind of tragic. So it makes me feel like Paranorman is one of my favorite movies, and it kind of makes me feel bad that it's one of my favorite movies.
On the other hand, Will Vinton, before he actually lost control of his company, was responsible for giving us one of the most iconic Christmas commercials of all time with the M&Ms.
That's true, And they're still going strong today, too.
Exactly. So, you know, I don't feel that bad.
His legacy is secure.
Yeah, you're right about that. Yeah. Although, apparently, there was a few questionable lapses in judgment here and there on his part, but... you know, I mean, we're all human. We make mistakes and
things happen. Yeah,
exactly. At least we can enjoy his creations.
Right. And so many of the 80s and 90s creations were so iconic. I mean, we're still talking about them today.
Mm-hmm.
And do you know the last time this aired on TV?
I don't remember the exact date. I believe it aired for about 5 years on CBS, and then it was for about another 5 or 6 years on Nickelodeon. So it was it was somewhere around, I think, 96 or 97 that they just stopped showing it. And I think it had to do with something with the actual rights of the songs that lapsed, if I recall correctly.
Maybe so, because especially the California Raisins bit, like they had to basically license that arrangement of Rudolph from the Temptations.
Right.
So there's got to be something going on with that, for sure.
It's literally the exact note-for-note song, just recreated, of course, by the Street Corner Singers. But, I mean, that's got to be money. Like, you're shelling out some money to have all these just playing rights. And that's not even, like, any other kind of... I mean, that's literally just to have it on TV to air at this time. It has nothing to do with anything else. So.
Right, yeah.
And that's one of the reasons why the album really wasn't pushed or released later on, was because there were so many issues with those rights. And so it's crazy.
And yeah, that's why so much of this era of Christmas stuff kind of gets lost to the sands of time, is because like rights issues like kind of force it out of the public eye.
Right. And, like the Muppets Christmas, the Muppet Family Christmas is another one.
Right. Yeah. Like the only way you can watch that now, I think, is on YouTube.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. Which is a shame. Or unless you recorded it off your own VHS.
Exactly.
Back in the day, but yeah.
Which I think, yeah, we did an episode on that one too, and I think the thing we were most fascinated by was that the rip that we watched on YouTube had all the 80s commercials in it. So yeah. We loved those commercials.
Oh, I'm telling you, it's so good.
Oh, man.
so good.
Let's get into the special a little bit.
Okay.
Stars Rex and Herb, two dinosaurs, who they've appeared in Vinton's other shorts. Namely, his 1980 short Dinosaur.
Mm-hmm.
But here, I think it's the first time they are given voice and given actual like lines and characters.
And I believe they're based on Siskel and Ebert as well.
It's kind of loose. I sort of see it, but I'm not sure.
I think it's more looks than anything else.
if the joke is just that, you know, one of them likes to eat, that's a little...
It's tenuous at best.
Tenuous and a little bit mean, but okay.
Yeah.
but, you know, Herb is so lovable. Like, how can you really be mad at him?
So a couple of years ago, I was actually designing a Mega Man-style game for an NES ROM on computer. It was all Christmas-based, and one of the characters I threw in was Herb. So, it was a whole crazy thing. I don't really want to get into all of it, but like Herb to me was so memorable and iconic that I had to put him in this dumb little Nintendo game I was making. So, yeah, I love Herb.
If it's a Mega Man pastiche, was he Waffle Man?
So, no, it was actually Herb. So you played as Santa Claus instead of Mega Man. It kept all the physics and kind of basic gameplay of Mega Man, but you were Santa. And as you were fighting various people to get to Winterbolt, who is the ultimate bad guy, then on certain levels, you would actually, instead of changing weapons, you would turn into the other character.
That's really cool.
For like that boss fight. I never finished it. One of these days I need to, but it's going to take me probably a couple more months. And I don't have time, but eventually I would like to.
that's the problem these days. It's like we just don't have enough time to do everything we want to do.
Everything. Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, if you ever finish it, you know, let us know. We'll definitely help you put it out there in the world.
All right.
I would love to champion that. But yeah, Rex and Herb are the two hosts, and they're here to introduce all of the different Christmas vignettes and the songs. And Rex is trying so hard to give us a little bit of education into these. And at every step, Herb is just like, how can we make this about food?
Yeah, which is great.
It's wonderful.
I mean, Rex is like just the straight man, the stereotypical, like, I want to get to business. Let's get this done. I'm trying to be. And he has a weird Jim Backus voice for some reason. I don't know why they gave him that voice, but I mean, it's just very.
I read that it was supposedly based on actor George Plimpton, which I'm not that familiar with him, but that's apparently the actor they modeled his voice on.
Oh, see, to me, I read like the millionaire from Gilligan's Island all day long, you know.
You know, that makes a lot of sense to me. Like, it's that It's like kind of New York, but kind of British, but not quite.
Yeah, it's like this weird, I don't understand where it comes from, like, but he's rich.
Transcontinental mishmash, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Whatever it is, he's very stuffy and very proper, and he just wants to talk about Christmas songs.
And he just wants to talk about these songs.
We're,
I mean...
we're gonna get to Christmas. But so there's a running gag about Here We Come A-Wassailing.
Yes.
That runs all the way through this, where nobody can really get right what the actual, the verbiage correct, because at first they think it's waffling, and you get a card of guys wheeling up a thing of waffles.
Yeah.
And which I love, because like my friends in college, we all had this idea that we were going to open what we called a waffle wagon.
Oh, nice.
And the guy saw the waffle wagon here. Like, our idea was going to be that, like, we're going to wheel it around to the frat houses, on the weekends. So all the drunk frat boys would come out of the parties at night, and they're going to be hungry, so we're going to feed them waffles.
Charge them for waffles, yeah. Yeah.
That plan never materialized, but, like, anybody out there who wants to, you know, a free idea, there it is.
I feel like this is the whole the germ, the original seed of that idea is from
came out of this.
Subconsciously it was in your brain or something.
I've never not been thinking about Claymation Christmas. But nice. You know, that's not correct. And then here comes a gaggle of geese. Here we come a waddling,
yeah,
which is adorable. And then you get a bunch of pigs. Here we come a wallowing, and then finally.
Out of all of them, the wallowing is the one that, even as a kid, I was like, that's kind of stretching it. You know, wassail, waffle, waddle, I get. It's just like a consonant or two. But, like, wallow is, like, a whole different thing.
Right. It's not quite there. And even then, like, the food connection is gross because the pigs are just, ugh. You know?
Right.
I can't
even describe
it in words.
Yeah. Well, and later on in his other ones, like the Claymation Comedy of Horrors and his Easter Bunny one that I can't remember the name, they kind of use those pig models, and they're just as gross and disgusting.
Oh, okay. See, I need to go back and catch those, because I've never actually seen those two.
If you buy the DVD on Amazon, I bought it like, I don't know, a decade or so ago.
Right.
That one actually has all three together. I'm sure you can probably find them online somewhere, YouTube. But if you end up doing that, they're all there. And
okay.
The Christmas one is just, it's the best. It really is.
It's going to be hard to beat the Christmas one. But then, the wassailing joke is fun. But then we get straight into the first song, which is We Three Kings.
Yes.
Which you've got the three wise men, and you got their camels, and they're making their trek through the desert. And the wise men sing We Three Kings, and then every once in a while their camels jump in and do kind of a more modern, hip, cool version of it.
Yeah, it's a doo-wop, basically. They all come in and they harmonize in their doo-wop-y kind of version. And the kings themselves are so, like, over the top, and it's like a real nice, bloated, very chanty, almost, like, I don't know, just ancient kind of sound. And then it's contrasted with that doo-wop version that the camels do. And I remember as a kid loving the camels. Like, come on, I want to hear the camels sing. Like, be quiet, kings. Let's get to the camels.
Like, we're not here for church songs. We're here for the camels.
We're here for camels.
Like, the original,
come on,
the kings, they sound like they're singing it, you know, like a church hymn. But
right.
Then the camels jump in and do their thing. And the thought occurred to me tonight when I was watching this that, have you ever heard the Bare Naked Ladies version? God rest you, merry gentlemen. And then they do it with
Sarah McLachlan.
Sarah McLachlan. Yeah, it's great.
Yeah.
And I was wondering, did they steal like the arrangement from this? Because it's very similar.
If they didn't, I'm going to spread the rumor that they did.
Yeah. Not out of malice or anything, but just because like that's a really good pull.
Yeah,
very clever.
Yeah, no, that's awesome.
I want to put that germ out there into the world. Like, did the Bare Naked Ladies, like, are they just really big fans of Claymation Christmas?
I think they are. I mean, that's got to be right.
It makes sense. It really does.
Or if this was like, I don't know, 5 years ago, we would have said confirmed. You know,
yeah,
they're like they're a fan confirmed.
Oh, yeah, Bare Naked Ladies, Will Vinton stands confirmed.
That's right.
Oh man. But then we move on from that, and then we come to Carol of the Bells with Conductor Quasimodo in Notre Dame Cathedral. Of course.
Yeah. And the fact that it's Quasimodo is just icing on the
cake.
That's
a great joke.
Yeah.
And you got the anthropomorphic bells, and they're all hitting themselves with the mallets as the the song goes, and then you get that one goofus Bell yep. doesn't know when to hit himself, or he's not paying attention.
And then he loses his hammer and or mallet, excuse me, and yeah, it's this one was a blast, and I again another one that I really loved because. Like everything, there's like ups and downs. It's a big roller coaster, and there's some that just stand out. And this is one that stands out. Like, if you ask anybody, do you remember the claymation? If they do, they probably remember this sketch.
Definitely. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And again, I kind of feel like this was cribbed a little bit from Hershey's when they did the their version of the We Wish You Merry Christmas with the Hershey Kisses. Same kind of idea.
When was that one? I'm trying to remember. I want to say that one was like... 87 to 89 ish.
Oh, so it was really close then, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So maybe, maybe not.
So maybe it was the other way. Maybe Hershey's took it from here.
Maybe so. Maybe so.
Everybody's ripping off Will Vinton.
I mean, he's a true American original, is what we're saying.
I think so. Yeah.
But I do especially enjoy the bit where he's thrown his mallet out because he's smashed a bug with it, and the one line in the entire short is when he has to like ask another Bell. He goes, "I lost mine.
I lost mine." Yeah, this weird voice. Well, and it's funny because so a year after this came out, they actually released the album, and so there's like three, maybe four songs from the special that actually made it to the album. All the rest are new compositions, and so this is one that made it in, but it doesn't really play. Like for audio, this is like something you kind of have to see what's going on. Otherwise, it's just you hear it's just Carol of the Bells sounding kind of nice.
It's not really a good gag in audio form, but it's a great cartoon concept.
Exactly. And so on the actual album, Patrick Miller actually like inserted just dialogue. He's like, and so he's like the announcer is just kind of saying, "Oh, he lost his bell." I mean, just like little things like that that I like, but it's definitely odd.
like sportscasters giving us the play by play.
That's right. Exactly. It's like a play by play. Yeah.
Yeah. That's kind of unfortunate. Like, I don't know that you should have. They could have thought about that a little bit, but whatever. It's
there. It's fun, and the whole sketch is great. And at the end, of course, it's punctuated by Quasimodo with the slingshot hitting the final note that the dumbbell just couldn't quite get.
Couldn't hit it himself, so he needed a little bit of help.
Yeah. Oh, man, I loved it. He'd turn around and bow to the audience, and sure enough, there's the slingshot just behind his
big
back.
Old slingshot. Yeah. So good.
Very Dennis the Menace.
But then we transition out of that and we come to Oh Christmas Tree, which is a pretty straightforward little number. There's no jokes or goofs or gags here. It's just Oh Christmas Tree set to kind of different scenes of, you know, Christmas trees in different various houses, mostly involving Santa Claus.
Like a gingerbread family, I think, and Santa's like sleeping while Mrs. Claus is knitting. But I like it because each time it kind of zooms in on the ornament, and then we kind of like go into the ornament, and then that's where it presents the new scene. And there's like the elves making toys, and I mean, it's nice. And again, as a kid, it was kind of slow. It's never been my favorite Christmas song, so I was always like, all right, let's get to the next one. But as an adult, knowing now that those are his daughters singing as well, I mean, it's just... those are Patrick Miller's daughters. It's just, it's nice and lovely, and I wish they had put that one on the album. That would have been perfect.
Oh, that's a shame. But this is, as an adult now, this is one where you definitely kind of... You stop listening to the song and you really start watching the animation.
Yes.
Because you kind of just get lost in it and it just absorbs you like right away.
Yeah. And it's so sweet and delicate and it's very, very Christmassy, and it provokes those nostalgic feelings, and it's just everything about it is heartwarming.
Yeah. It's not, I don't think it's ever going to be anybody's favorite, but it's, you know, it's the heart of the special, I think for sure.
I agree. Yeah.
And then moving on from that, we've got the fourth number is Angels We've Heard on High, which is done up as an ice ballet by two very large walruses.
Yeah. And again, this was another one of my favorites just because of the random quirky movements. And one thing you can do in clay that you can't really do in puppets, like the Animagic style of Rankin Bass, is overemphasize some of their features. So like when they're doing the spins and the dips and stuff, their arms will stretch and just to really make it seem a little more comical and cartoonish. But the song itself is a nice, slow, like, bassoony melody. It's in double, you know, halftime, and then it speeds up for the actual refrain. It's another great one, and it always made me laugh when they crushed the penguins at the end. I was like, take that, penguins.
Yeah. Well, I love the animation on the penguins too, because they're always just so terrified of, you know, where are they next? Here they come. Oh my god. And their faces just light up. Oh man. And again, I keep referencing other animations and stuff. This, as a kid, I always got this confused with the Dance of the Hours ballet from Fantasia.
From Fantasia,
because that one's, you've got the hippopotamus and the alligator, and I could never keep straight which one was the walruses ice skating and which one was the hippo and the alligator.
I totally get that. Yeah.
it's like the same kind of idea, but I think this one gives it a little bit more oomph, a little bit more comedic juice.
It definitely has. Yeah. I agree there. It's just that classic Will Vinton kind of vibe. I mean, everything he had done up to that point was still a little Looney Tunes ish compared to Disney. Especially in Fantasia, which is, there's funny bits in that, but the whole thing is meant to like teach about classical music. And here, this whole thing is just kind of, it's meant to teach about carols and songs, but in a much more, jokey kind of way.
It's entertainment first, I guess. Because like they're here to make you laugh, make you, enjoy some Christmas carols. And if we can do it with two walruses crashing
two
into
walruses,
penguins, so much the better.
It got me. I learned about it.
And
it actually, I had Angels We Have Heard on High became one of my favorite Christmas carols after this. So, and a lot of it, I really do attribute it to just the fact that there are two walruses, one that has a little skirt on and a bow on her head, and she gets tossed around like so much volleyball.
Right. There's really not a dull moment in this, because after this comedic bit, we jump straight back into sort of a more serious Christmas song, rather, with Joy to the World, which we mentioned earlier. It zooms in on, the church window, and then it immediately cuts to that very distinct, very fascinating animation style. Like you said, the painting on clay tablets, I guess.
Yeah, I think it was actual, like, the clay. They would do the clay and she would paint on it, and then they would take the picture, and then they would reform it and she would repaint, and then they would take a picture. And so apparently out of a whole thing, she was kind of isolated off on her own. And so anytime someone would like go by or just check on her, she was so thrilled that they were there. I mean, I get it. I've been at my store. I work in like the back in the professional light section, and so at this time everybody's in the front doing all the shopping and like the decorations, and it's not till like September, October that we start really getting people. So whenever I get like a customer, it's like, hey, how are you doing? Well, that's how this poor lady felt that was painting, and I empathize with her a lot, but she did a fantastic job. It really animation is vibrant, and I mean, it really was just fantastic.
It's a beautiful sequence, and especially knowing, how painstaking, claymation is as a process, the fact that, because I just kind of assumed that they animated this sort of traditionally because there's the look of it. But if you say they did it in clay, like with everything else, that had to have taken forever.
And
that's amazing to me.
Me too. And apparently the whole special to get it done, it was like right down to the wire, before, like, I think they said it was maybe just a couple of days before it was actually due where they actually finished it. So I get it. And I think a lot of it was just taken up in this particular segment here.
Well, all I can say is it was worth it, because this really is kind of the showstopper.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, there's no jokes, no characters or anything, but it's just a darn good piece of animation set to a great rendition of Joy to the World. Like, you can't ask for anything more than that.
No, I agree. Yeah, it's like a weird soul, gospel, jazz with like an Afro-Cuban beat. It's great, though. I love it.
Yeah, yeah, and I think I'm weirdly nostalgic for that kind of sound, because when I remember being very little and hearing that style of music on the radio a lot. So yeah. whenever I hear this song again, it just takes me back to being a small child.
Nice.
Not just because of the special, but for that style of music too. And I guess I meant to talk about this earlier. I meant to ask you about this earlier.
Sure.
I guess your nostalgia for this piece on its own. I mean, do you remember this coming out in the late 80s? Do you remember seeing this on TV at all?
Oh, yeah, totally. This, so I don't remember if I saw, I had to have seen it the day of, because I remember being so excited because there were two dinosaurs.
Okay.
I don't remember seeing the Garfield one the day of, but I'm pretty sure I did because it was before this, you know, so I'm sure. But yeah, I remember seeing this. I was so bummed when it was taken off the air. And then I kind of forgot about it for a few years. You know, like we go to college, we forget about certain things.
Sure,
and
yeah.
It is what it is, but, you know, it happens. And then I was, someone mentioned something. I was having a conversation with a friend and she said something and it like just refreshed, you know, this idea just kind of popped in my head. I think there was a special. And so then, of course, I hunted it out and found a copy. But yeah, this one, I love the special. I have a lot of nostalgia because this was one of my favorites. At the time, I didn't know the difference between Animagic and Claymation like I do now.
Right.
So I kind of lumped it together with the Rankin Bass stuff. And so it was one of those that, like, I had to watch or it didn't feel like Christmas.
Yeah, definitely. I get that now. Like, nowadays, I feel like if I'm not putting this in my rotation, it's just not quite the holidays
right.
yet. For me, this was one that I remember my dad loved a lot when it came out when I was a kid. And so every time they would rerun it on TV, he would be very excited because this was like his favorite special. And, you know, to this day, every time my dad or I talk about it, we look over at mom and she just rolls her eyes because she's not a fan. and it makes me think, like, is this like the most dad jokey Christmas special?
I mean, there is a lot of...
There's a ton of dad jokes.
Yeah, I totally get it. Yeah, but there's something about it. I mean, there's not really a lot of plot.
No.
And it's almost very... It's like a weird portmanteau almost of, like, dad jokes, you know, just humor, and, like, a documentary. You know, it's
bit,
like
yeah.
someone mashed them together and this is what we get. And, you know, they're trying to teach a lesson. It's and this happened and then this happened. But at the same time, then, oh, but I'm going to throw in this dad joke here. It's waffle. Huh? I get it. You know, and there's something about it that especially now as a dad and watching it with my kids, it like hits a little harder.
Oh, yeah, I'll bet. Say, I'll bet so.
Yeah.
Especially, you know, the Carol of the Bells. And then at the end, Herb says, oh, that conductor, his name rings a bell.
Yeah.
There you go.
Oh, Herb.
So yeah, I imagine one day when I have kids, I'm going to basically force feed them this special and they're going to like it or not.
Yeah, they'll like it as when they're little. As my 11-year-old is starting to kind of get a little bit away from this one, although she still likes the others. But
right.
Yeah, this one I think is when they're little, especially, they love it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I guess that's as good a segue as... That's not a segue. What am I talking about? But let's just jump straight into the final bit. The final...
Hard cut.
Hard cut to the big finale, which is the one everybody's here for, is the California Raisins.
Yeah, I mean, they were huge. The commercials were great. I heard it through the grapevine. I mean, this is the one we were waiting for, the California Raisins. And so, like any good show, you keep it to the end, you
know? Like they almost sold the special on the fact that the California Raisins were in it.
Right. And they weren't even originally supposed to be in it. It was like a very last minute kind of thrown together thing.
Yeah.
And then apparently he bought the rights, the performance rights to the Temptations version. So it's not even like, yeah, he didn't buy the Temptations version. He bought the performance rights, which are a completely different thing. And so then they got the street corner singers to like do their best to sing it exactly. And whenever they would try to add a little flourish or anything, Will Vinton was basically just shut them down and say, no, it has to be exactly like this. I paid for this. This is what we're doing.
Right. I paid for the Temptations. You're going to give me the Temptations.
That's right. Which is one of those things that I'm kind of guilty of every once in a while when my son doesn't want to eat something and we're at a restaurant and it's like, no, I paid for that meal. You're going to eat that meal. You know.
Oh, man.
I know. So I feel like Will Vinton was kind of like that. But yeah, it was a standout. It's a hit. And unfortunately, they do make fun of the one raisin and I don't know what they do to his nose, but they get it to glow just like Rudolph. And
yeah, they just grab it and honk it and twist it a little bit. like a light bulb.
it's like one of those glow sticks where you got to like snap it first in order for it to glow. You
shake it a little bit. Yeah,
that's right. I guess the minions. Again, people ripping off Will Vinton, because don't they do that to one of the minions and he glows?
I think they do. Yeah, you're right.
Everybody steals from Will Vinton.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Now, see, now I'm wondering, is there a Minions Christmas special? Because there, if there is, I'm going to snap.
I know what I'm doing after this. I don't know if there is a Minions Christmas special, but I know that I think it's in the first Despicable Me. It might be in the second, but I think it's in the first where they, like, shake a minion or
I do
recall, break him or something.
I do recall that gag, yeah.
Well, that's kind of what happens to this raisin. Yeah. And his nose lights up, and as they're singing this version of Rudolph, and then they build a sleigh out of trash and fly off into the sky because they missed their bus.
They missed the last bus out of town. And
on Christmas Eve, yeah.
Sorry, guys, you should have had your own tour bus. What are you doing?
That's right, yeah. Or pack up quick.
Yeah,
pack
really.
Up quicker.
Man.
They don't even have a lot of gear. What are they waiting on?
It didn't look like it. No, it's just, the shoes on their feet, basically.
Pretty much.
But yeah, this is such a good rendition. Like, I always love the Temptations version of the song. To the point where knowing now that it's not the Temptations, I always thought it was in this special.
Yeah, and as a kid, I thought the same thing. Like, I couldn't tell them apart. Now, of course, I can, hearing the two.
Yeah.
Because the street corner singers, their soprano is an actual it's a lady. It's not a guy singing falsetto.
Okay,
and so you can really hear the difference there. But they do a great job. They really did nail it as close as they could. So I definitely have to applaud their musicianship, and I definitely love the fact that they stuffed the raisins in here and just shoehorned them in, and it really made me like the special so much more.
Yeah, last little bit of like product placement. Like, let's get the California raisins in there.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah.
I went to the the California Raisin website, not for the animated group, but the actual like board of California Raisin Council.
The raisins,
and they're still
using
those characters on their website. So
nice.
They may not be animated anymore, but they're still around, which I really appreciate. And like anytime I go to a like a secondhand store or a bookstore or a thrift shop, I'll always look and see if they have this little California Raisin figurines.
Yep, I used to have them. I had a few. I think McDonald's had them in like their Happy Meals.
Yeah,
something
like that. But anytime I see one, in a bin, random junk for a dollar, I'll scoop that up because you just don't see those much anymore.
No, you really don't.
No.
I think the only thing that would have made this special better is if the Noid himself had appeared.
Oh, yeah. It's
like, I would have liked to have seen that.
To just offer Herb like a Christmas pizza or something.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Or try to stamp out, like maybe one of the... I don't know. Someone comes by with some pizzas and he just tries to destroy them. I don't know. I think it would have been funny, though. And I'm a completist. I like to see the connected universes and things like that. So.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. But that pretty much wraps up the special. The final little bit is, they finally come around to the correct version of Here We Come a Wassailing.
Right.
Where they explain, like, no, wassailing is just going around town singing Christmas carols, having drinks, and hanging out with your friends. And what more could you possibly want, really, in life?
I did like how the elf was, at least to me, sounded like he was Irish.
He did have like an Irish accent, didn't he?
Yeah. It's just, I thought it was funny.
Which I guess makes sense because I think wassailing is, it's a pretty, I don't want to say it's Irish because I'm not entirely sure, but it's definitely a European thing, isn't it?
Yeah. And I think it was in the British Isles. I think it was
fair enough,
very popular. So, but it made me laugh. And I mean, I'm Irish, so I can kind of joke about it. Oh, of course, the Irish would have drinks and stuff like that. But, but no, it's just I thought it was amusing.
And yeah, that pretty much wraps up the special. I mean, the crew sing "We Wish You a Merry Christmas" over the end credits, and watching the version that I found for this. There was one last joke after the credits I had never seen or heard before. So, Herb, the last thing you see of him, he has eaten way too much and his belly is gigantic.
Yeah. Yep. Exploding out of his Santa suit.
Right after the last thing you hear as the end credits roll up, Herb makes a reference to Monty Python and the Meaning of Life, where he says, "Come on, Rex, just one thin buttermint."
I don't think I've heard that before. I'm going to have to go watch it again.
Yeah, check that out. Just wait till the end of the credits because it's the last line and then like, boom, it's done. And I thought, what? They referenced Monty Python out of nowhere? Why?
And I just watched it and I didn't even notice that. Oh my gosh. I gotta go watch it again.
It's great. It's out of nowhere. Awesome. But I love that. So
that's super awesome.
I think that wraps up Claymation Christmas. So let's jump straight over to the Crankometer where we rate this special, which is the Crankometer, rather, is our patented XY-axis for rating Christmas movies and specials. Typically, when we talk about specials, we do a different kind of rating, which is we ask, would you put this on at a Christmas party? The answer to me is obvious. Of course you would.
Oh, yeah. 1,000,000%.
But this is such a special case. I think let's do a full rating for this. So on the Christmas quotient, how Christmassy, Jerry, do you think this is on a scale of -5 to +5?
I think it's a 5. It's super Christmassy. There's a Santa. There's a Christmas tree. There's ice dancing walruses. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's like the top 3 of Christmas items right there.
Yeah. You know? I mean, I feel silly even asking the question because like this is the most Christmassy thing imaginable.
No, but it really is. It's very Christmassy. So I'd give it a 5 on the X-axis.
Like sure. a natural, 5. Absolutely. Yeah. And now the quality quotient, the Y-axis, how good do we actually think this is? And again, I feel silly asking this because, man, this is just the best.
It really is great. I love it. I mean, again, I'd give it a 5. I probably shouldn't, but it's a total 5 for me.
Yeah, if you want to nitpick, you can nitpick it, but come on. What's wrong with you?
No, exactly. Yeah.
A 5-5. This is a perfect 5-5. We're in agreement. And I think my co-hosts, if they were here, they would agree with me and you because it's just so catchy and entertaining. And the animation is unlike anything out there.
Yeah. And it's fantastic.
It's a cult classic for a reason.
Yes. I still wish they would show it on TV. There's something about watching a special on TV at Christmas time it's just more magical. Like there's an energy, like just an electricity almost in the air. And I kind of miss seeing it just live on TV. So we have, of course, we have the DVD, we pop it in, but it's not quite the same. And so I do miss it. And I remember the year that they didn't show it anymore. I was devastated that year. It was just, something was wrong. It was such a bummer. But finding it again after all these years is fantastic. And now I can enjoy it anytime I want because I own it. So
there you go. Yeah.
there's at least that.
and you've shown it to your kids and they at least appreciate it for now. So hopefully, going further down the line, they'll be nostalgic for it too. It's like a thing that, my dad used to love this just like with me and my dad. My dad loved it. And now I love it too.
Yeah, exactly.
So, keep passing it down. That's all I could say.
Yeah, we'll make it a thing.
We'll definitely make it part of your Christmas holiday tradition today, won't you?
They should. I know I will.
All right. Well, that wraps it up for Christmas Creeps this week, folks. Jerry, thank you so much for joining me.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's been a blast. I love the special.
Absolutely love it. And I'm so glad I had you on here to talk about it with me. So, Jerry, where can our listeners find you on the internet?
So, I'm the host of TotallyRadChristmas.com. It's a podcast all about Christmas in the 80s. I have a website, TotallyRadChristmas.com. I think I might have said that already. Whatever. Anyway, TotallyRadChristmas.com. You can find me anywhere you get podcasts. And, of course, I'm on Facebook and Instagram at TotallyRadChristmas, Twitter at RadChristmas, Mastodon, although I don't really do anything, at TotallyRadChristmas at Mastodon.world. And I'm on Blue Sky at RadChristmas at bsky.social. So
very good. We mentioned with the same thing that happened when I was on your show. We had to kind of reckon with the fact that there's so many new social media sites now. You have to remember all of them.
I know, that's the hard part. You know what, I'm just gonna say Linktree and then what is it, / Totally Rad Christmas. There you go.
Right.
And you can find me on all of them.
And we'll put a link to the Linktree for Totally Rad Christmas in our show notes to make it easy on everybody.
Yeah. Or just go to totallyradchristmas.com and you can get to everything from there as well.
There
so
you
whatever's
go.
Easier. Yeah.
Go for it. And it's, for us, ChristmasCreeps.com, where you'll find the show notes for this and show notes for every other episode. You can find us on Twitter at ChristmasCreeps. We're also on Threads. We're on Instagram and Facebook. I'm working to get us an invite to get onto Blue Sky, but so we're not there yet, but we're going to get there soon.
Well, when I don't have one yet. When I get one, I'll go ahead and send it to you.
I would love that. Yeah, I'm
right on.
My priority's been trying to get my friends on there, so I'm don't want to be selfish and take them all for myself. But
I hear you.
Yeah. But also, you know, if you'd like to leave a comment or send us a question, you can send those to us at xmascreeps@gmail.com, or you can tweet at us, or Blue Sky, whatever that is, at us when we get that thread. Send us a comment. Let us know how we're doing. Let us know what you think. And give us a recommendation for a show or a special that you'd like us to cover at some point soon. That's all I've got for tonight, folks. So I'm Joseph Wade for Christmas Creeps.
And I'm Jerry D from Totally Rad Christmas.
Wishing y'all a wonderful evening and a Merry Christmas in July.
Later, dudes.
Happy Christmas. Happy Christmas. Come on, Rex. Just one thin dinner mint.